Tanya, I have great news.
Yes?
With all of your wedding activities on the horizon, I thought you'd be excited to find out the sale you wait for is finally here. Macy's Friends and Family Sale.
Yes! What perfect timing.
You can get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more.
This is incredible. I need to plan for my bachelorette party, bridal shower, rehearsal dinner. I mean, so now I know exactly where to look.
Exactly. And you can get 15% off beauty, makeup, and more, plus free shipping when you spend $25.
Amazing. Macy's Friends and Family Sale is April 25th through May 5th. Shop at Macy's.com and in-store. Becca, do you want a clean that matches your vibe?
Sure.
Are you tired of meh smelling cleaning products?
Totally.
Well, then clean confidently with coconut scented Clorox Scentiva. Its powerful clean and refreshing scents transform every room in your home into a coastal getaway.
Because it smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like inspiration.
Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Scrubbing in with
Mark
and
Easton,
an iHeartRadio and
Zero
Time People's Choice Award winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in.
Scrub-a-dub-dub.
It's the Mark and Easton Show. Yay!
Yay!
A lot of you on the Facebook group said, you guys have done this before? When?
Where can I hear it? Is it in another feed?
Nope. Right here in the Scrubbing In feed, where we like to call home for the past 6 years.
Stretch your thumbs to scroll back for that one, though.
Do some stretching. It's the last show of 2020. We were on Zoom. I was sitting on the floor in the closet.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in my office.
I remember it well.
Yeah.
We're in studio today. Quality's better in terms of sound quality. Quality of the content, that remains to be seen. Merry Christmas, Easton.
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Easton, let's start this show by talking about Christmas.
Let's do it.
Tell me about Christmas for a young Easton Allen. I feel like a young Easton Allen was very similar to our current Easton Allen. Like, very excitable, really loved a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
Cereal and restaurants and superheroes and Disneyland, right?
Yeah. Crocs. I liked Christmas as a young boy. We had a fireplace, but it was one of those like stoves. It wasn't like a traditional like wood burning in a fireplace. So I remember being very concerned that Santa wouldn't be able to get through.
Yeah.
And then thank God, I believe it was the Santa Claus with Tim Allen came out and they showed how he can manipulate his body to get through very small openings. I was like, whew.
Yeah.
Pressure's off now.
That's nice.
Something I really liked is I'd wake up on Christmas morning and spoiler alert, if you have kids listening, my dad, Kim Allen, senior, would throw ash on the ground and make like footprints.
That's good.
And stuff like that. And he would go outside my window and like ring the sleigh bells. And I was like, oh my God, Santa.
You'd be laying there in bed and you'd hear Santa come.
I would.
Wow.
It was great. And the only thing that I was suspicious of was I was like, because I heard Santa made these toys in his workshop. Yeah. His elves made it. And I was like, is Mattel okay with them making G.I. Joe? Like the package is the same? There's got to be a legal problem here.
Yeah, that is interesting,
you know,
how that works. Because back in the day when the first Santa Claus, you know, story was going around, that's what people got. They got train sets and stuff you could have made
rocking
in a workshop.
Horses.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's an Xbox Santa made in his workshop.
Fortnite bucks.
Yeah. I actually, since we've already blown it with the kids out there, I believed longer than almost any of my friends. And the reason was, one Christmas Eve, I don't know, I was 7 or 8, some friends of my parents came by the house who had just been at a Christmas party. And they stopped by our house and they were fully dressed as Santa and Mrs. Claus. And my parents took a picture with a Polaroid of the four of them together. And to me, that was ironclad proof. It was like getting a shot of Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. Like, this is it. You guys, go ahead. Don't believe, but I know it's real because I have a photo.
Wow.
Sad little barky.
So your calls to the National Enquirer were proof went unanswered.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe the scoop I got for you guys.
Yeah, both my kids found out the hard way by friends at school. Blowing it for them. Yeah.
That's a bummer.
It was too bad. Yeah. They were sad.
How about you? Did you, were you really into Christmas as a young boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which some people might be surprised by because I'm not religious and we were not a religious family.
Yeah.
But we were way into Christmas.
It's fun.
Because that can happen.
Yeah.
There is a secular way of doing Christmas and we did the heck out of it. We really did with the songs and the tree and the stocking and the shows and we really got into it.
Do you have Christmas movies you would watch every year?
Yeah, I watched It's a Wonderful Life every year.
Wow.
For a long, long time. I showed it to my eldest daughter last year for the first time. We'd watch those. And our tradition was we'd go see a movie on Christmas Eve, like in theaters.
Fun.
And then we'd come home and have ribs. Mom would make ribs. She made steak when we were younger, but I've never been that into steak. So she made it ribs. And then we'd go drive around and look at Christmas tree lights or neighborhoods. And then Christmas morning, we'd get up early. And I'd have an apple Pop-Tart. And then we'd always start at the exact same time. I think it was like 8:42 or something. We'd always start opening presents at the exact same time every year. I was a very big stickler for tradition, but I do not recommend that because I have no memories of Christmas now because every year was exactly the same. I couldn't tell you the difference between when I was 6 or when I was 12. They're all exactly the same. So if you have kids of your own, change it up a little bit every year so they have something to remember.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Yeah.
We did the same. We stuck to tradition until.
I mean, some traditions are great.
They're good to
have traditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good to switch things up.
So right now, if people are listening to this in real time, it's Christmas morning.
Wow. That's right.
What is happening at the Easton household?
Well, I just finished posting scrubbing in that I probably should have scheduled in advance, but I didn't. So my wife is waiting for me. What do we do on Christmas morning? We always spend Thanksgiving with my family in Northern California. And then Christmas, we love doing just Allison and I. And that was something that was very important early in our marriage. We're like, let's start our new traditions now, you know, just her and I. So we wake up and exchange gifts. And we usually, we like to watch a lot of movies on Christmas Day.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So we usually watch Krampus starring Adam Scott. It's a horror movie. We're probably gonna watch the new Janet Kramer Christmas movie on Lifetime.
That's nice.
A Cowboy Christmas Romance.
Sure.
Light a fire. Eat a lot of junk food. And,
yeah, that's beautiful.
What about you? What about you guys?
Well, we'll be at my mother-in-law's house, and the TV will be on, and I'll be on. We're always sitting in the exact same spot. You know, I get sucked into these traditions. I'm sitting on the couch, back to the window, wife next to me, kids are on the floor, even though they're all teenagers now. Grandma Sandy's in one recliner, Papa's in the other recliner. You know, we all get into our spots, and we try to take a long, long time to open presents. You take a lot of breaks. You make it last all day if you can.
Do you do the, like, does each person open a gift?
You kind of, okay. Youngest to oldest.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
See, we always just did when we go to my grandfather's house, it's just open season, for it.
No. It's very regimented. Youngest to oldest until the adults start running out of them, but then it stays youngest to oldest. It's just within the kids.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's great.
That makes it easier, too.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, so today we have questions that you've asked us on the Facebook group. We're going to go through some of those, and then I have a game for Easton later that he doesn't know anything about.
Wow.
Yeah, I did a lot of research on this game.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so that's coming up. So why don't we take a break, and we'll come back and start answering some questions.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's talk about one of our goals for 2024, shopping sustainably.
Yes. And you know what's been amazing? Being able to shop sustainably at Macy's.
Agreed. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference.
It's so refreshing. I've been loving exploring their selection from brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more.
Plus, here's something really special. Macy's is not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk. Did you know that they're bringing more parks to more people by supporting the Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards project?
It's incredible. They're transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces, making sure our communities are healthy and livable for generations to come.
And here's where we can all make a difference. You can join Macy's in this incredible effort by donating online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Every little bit counts, and together we can create a greener, more sustainable future.
So head over to macys.com/purpose to learn more and make your contribution today.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes, 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
Two sisters and one friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Tanya, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home?
Honestly, no, there's not.
I swear when my house is clean, I feel motivated to do more, like at-home workouts or organizing my closet. I just feel more productive, like I'm ready to take on the day.
I totally agree. When my kitchen is clean and spotless, it makes things like meal prepping fly by. Clorox Scentiva provides a trusted clean with refreshing scents.
Find your home's signature scent. Is it coconut, grapefruit, or lavender? There's a scent for every vibe.
Step up your cleaning game.
With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
All right, here we go. Questions from the Facebook group. Thank you all for participating. Dana Snow, what a lovely name for Christmas Day. Dana Snow. Why haven't you guys started an advice podcast yet? I think there's a very simple reason. No one is interested in that.
No. I get that question a lot. Why haven't you started a podcast yet? And I'm very flattered by those.
Very nice.
But my personal belief is we are two white men. The world has enough of us out there, especially in podcasting.
It's really true. And also, you know? I think you need to have a certain level of fame to have a podcast.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you're just one of the millions of podcasts out there.
Yeah. So, maybe it'll happen at some point, but I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know what I could contribute.
I don't see iHeartRadio getting behind such a thing.
Yeah, that's a hard pitch, man. Oh.
So, sorry, Dana, probably not anytime soon, but you're very sweet to ask that.
Yes.
Jennifer Fisk, what are both of your roles at iHeartRadio? More than just your titles, is it research, pre-show, editing, facilitating, helping the host if they get stuck? What's a day in the life look like for each of you? I'll go first. I get up early, in the dark, drive in. Sometimes a year I get a little bit of sunrise, but usually that's also in the dark. I'm the executive producer of On Air with Ryan Seacrest. That's the title. And the job entails getting everything ready that he could possibly need for the course of a show. I schedule out a show. This break, we're going to talk about this. This break, we're going to talk about this. Now, sometimes he sees that and he goes, I don't want to talk about that stuff. And I say, great. He said, I want to talk about this. I say, great. And he does what he wants. Some days he sticks to it. It's kind of, a lot of it has to do with what he's got going on. Sometimes he's very busy and he just kind of does what I put in front of him. And sometimes he comes in with a million ideas and does that. And they're both great. It's probably better when he comes in with his own ideas because then he's really fired up to talk about them. But then the other part of the job is to make sure he has everything he needs for these breaks. Does he need pictures? Does he need callers? Does he need the questions for the game we're going to play? Does he need a background? Does he need the pronunciation of a name? Like stuff like that. Just make sure he has everything possible that he could need for that break. And so that's the main job, is doing that with him. And I've been doing that for almost 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Easton?
The email, the business card says executive producer of American Top 40 with Ryan Seacrest, which is the show that airs on the weekends that Ryan does. It airs across the country and across the world. And my typical day is I wake up and we record that show a couple times throughout the week. There's several different versions of the countdown. So depending on when Ryan has time for it, I will hop on Zoom usually and record with him.
That's not live every Saturday and Sunday morning.
You know, I hate to break it to you. This is something that it breaks my heart to do. I spoiled Santa earlier in the show, and now I'm going to spoil this. A lot of people think that Ryan comes to their town on Sunday morning and broadcasts the countdown from there. And I'm sorry to say that is not accurate. He pre-records it a little bit in advance, just a bit. But I record that with him, and you know, similar to what Mark has to do, I have a script for him that has all this information about all the artists on the chart, interesting stuff to talk about, and the guests we're going to have on the show, and anything else he could possibly need. And we record that together. It's just him and I. We're having a lot of fun. We're best friends, Ryan Seacrest and I. And you know, it's just like two friends hanging out.
You're downplaying. Ryan really likes you.
Oh, you're sweet.
I truly believe that.
He's cool. I have a Funko Pop of him on my shelf
now. Yes, you do. But yeah, he gets a big kick out of you. Easton, what was the number one song of 2023 on the American Top 40?
The number, do you want to know the pop chart or the hot?
The pop chart. That's all that matters. Come on.
Oh, my goodness. The contemporary hit radio chart, that is CHR. The number one song was The Weeknd. Die For You.
Yeah, it was. This is your number one song of 2023.
And if you listened this past week, if you listened yesterday, you'd know that already.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's out there. We're not, you know,
yeah,
no
this
spoilers.
Is no spoil.
No. Just what I thought you might be curious. I like that. Jennifer also asks, if we weren't doing our current job, what would you want to be doing with your life? I always say baseball. I want to be, and I've always wanted to be, and I still want to be, a play-by-play baseball announcer.
Oh, man.
Not the guy at the stadium that goes, now batting, center fielder. Not that guy. I want to be, when you turn on the radio, here we go, ball one, strike two, here's the pitch to Yelich, it's a swing and a ground ball to short, that guy. I want to be that guy. And I've always wanted to be that guy. And maybe someday I'll get that chance, but that would be the alternate route. And I did pursue that route at one point when I was about 22, and that didn't work out. And I got a morning radio job instead, and that's been the path I've been on ever since. But that was a fork in the road. So, and someday, hopefully, I'll go back to that.
I would love to see that.
Oh, man,
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, because I always wanted to do radio, and I'm doing it. And I guess I'd like to be on the air somewhere, but I don't know if I want that anymore. I really love what I'm doing
right now. I have found that as I get older, my desire to be on the air is less and less. Yeah. And of course, here we are doing a frivolous podcast.
Listen to us. I don't know if I want to do it every day, but you know, something, I am so fascinated by advertising and logos and jingles and slogans. That is something that like sincerely brings me a lot of non-ironic, like real pleasure. So I have always fantasized about another life where I like went into advertising or something.
Yeah, you'd be good at that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, we're both radio nerds. What can we say?
Yeah.
I mean, here we are. Let's see. This is a fun one. Kayla Boo Campbell. Cute name.
Little boo thing.
Startled me right in the middle there. Mark, why do you live a little? Have a soda or a cup of coffee. Yeah, no. Although I did have a soda in 2023.
Wow.
I did. In August in Wisconsin, I had a root beer float.
Oh my goodness.
It was delicious. And that was my soda for the year. And I don't usually do one a year. I usually do zero a year.
Was it like Roger Rabbit having alcohol where like your head turned into a giant whistle?
You know, it's funny. The fizziness, since I drink nothing but water, the fizziness is like, oh my goodness. It's like stronger than I remember it being.
Clutch your pearls. Oh my God, the carbonation.
And I don't even know what coffee tastes like. So that's not happening.
Wow.
Kayla also says, Easton, hypothetically, the Cheesecake Factory is closing down. You're there the last night it's open. What are you ordering?
This is the thing I've talked to my therapist about. When I go somewhere or eat something that I really like, I do have a fear. I'm like, this could be the last time I have this. And that paralyzes me when I think about what I'm ordering and everything.
Why do you think that? Why would it be the last time?
I don't know. Because
like, life is short. And
I mean, not like I'm going to perish before, but they might close. This place might close tomorrow. They might take this off the menu.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So like every time we go visit my hometown, it drives my wife nuts, but I have to eat. Like there's like 10 things I have to eat. So I'm like, I don't know when this will be my last time having Taco Verde burritos. So I have thought about this. If the Cheesecake Factory was going under and closing, and it was my last meal there, I would get an appetizer of Buffalo Blast. I would for the starter, and then my main would be the Cajun jambalaya pasta. That's my favorite thing there. Uh-huh. And then my dessert would be the s'mores cheesecake.
Wow,
yeah,
that's a good answer. Good question, Kayla.
Thank you,
Kate Ortiz. Mark, advice for handling two girls. Ooh. Expecting my second in May. Well, congratulations. That's exciting. Good for you. What's wonderful? The other night, my wife hosted a holiday bunko. She's in a bunko group. Do you know what bunko is?
I don't know bunko.
It's a dice game.
It's like a Wisconsin thing?
I don't think it's a Wisconsin thing. It's a lot of moms.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah. It's a dice game. I don't really know the rules of it, but you roll dice and you win money, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And the moms were coming over, and I have to clear out when the moms come over. So I go hide upstairs because this is a mom thing. This is just us. So the kids and I go upstairs. But I was still downstairs getting things ready when some moms arrived, and they gave some gifts because they do a white elephant thing. And Amy said, put them under the small Christmas tree because we have a big one in the living room, and then the kids have one in the other room. Put them under the small Christmas tree. So they did, and I said, oh, cute. And one of the moms said, you are a girl, Dad. My husband has never said those words like that in his life. And I don't know that she meant it as a compliment, but I took it as a compliment. My only advice is I hope you've got a husband that is just cool with it all. It's not one of these guys that wants to keep going for boys and really wishes he had boys. You need a husband who is very willing to play Barbies with them, to watch princess movies with them, to play Pretty Pretty Princess with them, which was one of our favorite board games when I was little.
I love that game.
And we have pictures somewhere of me in the full, all the jewelry and the tiara because I won the game. Anyway, if he's willing to do all that stuff, it's going to be just fine because having daddy's girls is the greatest, and that's where I am now. Sarah Hayes, what were some of your bests this year? Easton, you start. Movies, books, TV shows, trips, food, but no Eastie Awards spoilers, she says.
Yeah, you know, for those of you just tuning in, I do a thing every year called the Eastie Awards where I recognize my favorite things throughout the year. And this would be, if I told you like my favorite movie right now, that would be spoiling the ceremony, which is going on January 8th, I believe. There'll be
I thought it was always New Year's Eve.
You know, it was New Year's Eve, and then I found, January 7th. It was New Year's Eve, but that was, it was hard to, people got annoyed by that.
Okay.
They got annoyed. So I'm doing it on Sunday, the first Sunday in January now, like other award shows.
Okay, great.
And EC Awards shirts are available now, actually, nice. On my Instagram. But I'll tell you my favorite, I'm not much of a reader because I can't read, but no, just kidding, I can, but I don't read as much as I would like, but I did read a book called, by Kevin Rafferty, who is an Imagineer at Disney, and the name of the book escapes me, but I did love it. And I'm looking up the book now. I think it's called My Fantastical Walt Disney Magic Journey. Magic Journey is the name of the book. It's by Kevin Rafferty. If you love Disneyland and rides and weird stories, it's a great book. That was my favorite book this year. In terms of the rest of it, you're going to have to tune into the Eastie Awards, baby.
Oh, wow.
Instagram Live.
So sad.
I know.
That we get more of that from you. Well, so nothing else? No TV shows? That's a category?
Yeah, actually, I don't do TV shows on the Eastie's.
Okay,
I can talk about
let's go.
I don't watch TV a lot, and that's why I don't do it. But this year, I loved, this might be recency bias, but I'm loving The Curse. That's still going on as we record this. That is, and I think it'll go into January. That's Emma Stone.
Oh, I love Emma Stone.
And Nathan Fielder, who is a weirdo on TV.
It's on Showtime.
It's on Showtime.
I don't have that one.
It's so good. It's about this couple that are they're trying to do an HGTV fixer upper. They're trying to make this town in New Mexico become the new thing, and they suck. They're terrible people, and they make a lot of terrible decisions. And it's really fun to. I love those kind of stories of people making really bad decisions.
Well, I just canceled Apple TV Plus. Maybe I can get the Showtime.
Get Showtime trial and check out The Curse.
Okay,
I love that. This won't make the ECs because it was so recent, but I just saw Poor Things. I just saw Poor Things.
Oh, that's good. That's Emma Stone,
that's
too,
also
right?
Emma Stone. And that is great. And that's made by Yorgos, I can't pronounce his last name, the director. He did a movie called The Lobster. He's a weirdo, too.
Oh, yeah, I saw The Lobster.
Yeah.
Weird.
Very weird.
Yeah.
This is weird as well, and it's great. That's what I recommend to you. Magical Journey, The Curse, and Poor Things.
TV show, to me, it's Succession. To me, Succession is up there with The Sopranos and Breaking Bad is just one of the greatest shows of all time.
That was this year?
Maybe it wasn't. Was it?
I think
like I watched it this year.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just loved it. I feel like it's acting, directing, producing, everything is at the highest possible level. Set design, sound editing, like everybody's the greatest at the game, and they're all together doing the show. And I just don't think it gets any better than that. Because I would go back and watch scenes over again to see what these actors are doing, a little twitch with their eyebrow or a little thing with their lip. And it's just like, wow, it's just incredible watching these people act. It's really, I love that show. Movies, I love the Barbie movie.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it so much. It was so everything I hoped it would be and more. It got me good. You know, just kind of, when a movie just kind of hits you, And the whole theme of how heartbreaking it is for parents when their kids stop playing with their Barbies. And I've told that story before, but then my kids did a series finale with their Barbies when they were getting too old to play with Barbies anymore. And they were going to donate them all because they had 80 of them. And so the two of them, who are now too old, they went and they played Barbies one last time and had each Barbie stand up and explain what they're going to be doing with their lives. You know, I'm going to college here. I'm going to go work here. Like, it was a series finale.
Wow.
And I was in the next room listening and just, you know, blubbering. But I also loved, just to nerd out for a second, I loved the Spider-Verse movie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember if it's into or across or alongside or next. Across the Spider-Verse. That was great. And I'm reading right now the sequel to They Both Die at the End.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's not current or anything, but it's a sequel to it, and it's called The First to Die at the End. So I don't know, it's good so far.
One more thing about the Barbie movie, because it is so good, and I just wanted they re-released it in IMAX, and I went to go see it again.
Yeah.
It was just as good the second time. I loved it. Allison and I were like, maybe we can bail like halfway through.
Yeah. You
know? And no, we stayed the whole time. And I posted on Instagram that I was going to go see it, and someone said, "What's different about it?" And I said, "Well, it's really big." And it sure was, baby. It was huge. I loved it.
Wonderful movie. That speech about what it's like to be a woman today.
Yes.
That was powerful. Jenna Beck wants to know our favorite Scrummagin memory. For me, it's the live show at the Roxy.
Oh, that was
just
so great.
Just standing on that stage and having a couple hundred people just screaming and cheering. I hope everybody gets to experience that in their life at some point, because that was amazing.
That was something I never, when we started doing this podcast, I truly never thought.
Like, never.
I thought it would go on for a while, but I'm like, I can't believe that moment would happen.
Yeah, it was incredible.
That was so special.
Madison Young, what would be your perfect day? What are you doing? What are you eating? Who are you with, Eastie?
You know, I had imagined my perfect day, and I got to do it for my birthday in 2022.
Wow.
I think about it all the time. It was my perfect day. I woke up, I had a Lucky Boy breakfast burrito from Pasadena. If you're in the Pasadena area, you got to go to Lucky Boy and get this breakfast burrito. It's so good. I had that. And then my sister and her husband came, met up with Allison and I, and we drove out to Malibu. We had oysters. And then we went to Paradise Cove, which is the beach where they shot the album cover for Surf and Safari by the Beach Boys. And I stared at the water and I felt the air and I looked at the cliffs and I just hung out with people closest to me. It was the perfect day.
That's very sweet. It's hard for me because it would involve my wife and daughters, but I'd also want to be watching a Brewers game, and they don't like to watch Brewers games, and so I would feel bad about making them do that. So I wouldn't do that, but I'll tell you my happy place. My happy place is at my mother-in-law's house. They have a huge backyard, like, that don't exist in Southern California. Yeah. It's like a good big Wisconsin backyard. And we get out the T-ball equipment. Wiffle ball. We all play wiffle ball in the backyard. So it's me and it's the kids and it's all of either the kids' friends or usually their cousins. And usually my brother-in-law is out there and maybe some other people that we know are there. And that's just, I could do that. Even if it's just me and my daughters, that is my happy place. Wiffle ball in that backyard on a lovely summer night. The sun's going down. Usually we can still smell what was on the grill a few minutes ago.
Oh, man.
Usually the ball game's on the speakers, on the radio. That's it, man. That doesn't get any better than that.
Man, I love it.
A number of people asked me about my daughter's anxiety. Heather Durant here. Can you talk about your daughter's anxiety, what you've done that's helped? My 4-year-old has anxiety at bedtime, and I find myself getting impatient with her. Okay, so I have the solution. I'd like to say I have the solution, but obviously every child is different. But my daughter could never express to us what the problem was. And then she got to an age where she could express to us what the problem was and had been and what she needed from us in those times and that we weren't necessarily giving to her. Here's what she needs. So Heather, I think this would help. She needs you to be there. She needs you to love her. And she needs you to empathize with what she's going through. And we were good at that to a point. And I think that is the key. Because when your kid comes in your room at bedtime once, twice, three times, you can handle that. It's going to be fine. I'm not going to get upset. By the 8th, 9th, 10th time, it's very difficult to not, even if you're saying the right things, they can tell if you're annoyed with them. And so if your kid knows that there is a breaking point for mom and dad, it almost becomes inevitable that they're going to get to that breaking point because their anxiety is going to force them to do that, because they're going to go back to bed and they're going to feel like, is this the moment that they're mad at me? And then their anxiety is going to get worse and worse until they come in. And maybe you are, maybe you aren't. Even if you aren't, they go back to bed and they still know it's coming. I have found that when I said to her later on, after I had the revelations of all the stupid mistakes I made as a dad in handling this situation, that if she knows that you're never going to get upset, that is enough. I remember one night, my wife and other daughter were at some dance convention, so it was just me and my oldest, and I knew that her anxiety level was high when I was saying goodnight to her. And so I said, I'm right down the hall, and you can come all night long. I don't care. I'm there, and it's going to be fine. And she never even came once, because I think just knowing that it's going to be fine makes the anxiety go away. So if they know that you are a safe space that they can go to, if they know that you're a safe space indefinitely, then they're not going to push the limits of that. So, Heather, my advice to you is to try. And I know that's hard, man. I know when it's 3 a.m. and she's still coming in, it's so hard. But if you can just figure out a way to always be okay with it, it's going to get better, and it's going to get better fast, I think. And every kid's different, so who knows? But, and Danielle Hammond, that's the best parenting advice I wish I had known back then. And it's easier said than done, because you're going to get annoyed. It's just natural, especially when you don't understand it. And I never understood it. Why are you so anxious? Nothing bad's ever happened to you in your whole life. What's the problem? But when you go to that place, then it just gets worse. You just got to find it in yourself to be okay with it forever, and then it's gonna get better. So anyway,
that's such good advice for not even if your child doesn't struggle with anxiety, or even your partner. I think if you need to be that place, they need to feel like you are a safe place. I think.
Yeah.
And that is so important.
And always.
Yes. Always. A safe place.
All right, Tanya, Mother's Day is right around the corner.
I know, Becca. I've been racking my brain trying to come up with some gift ideas for all of the mothers in my life.
You know what could help you? Macy's Gift Finder. Shopping for Mother's Day is always challenging for me, so I love using a gift guide to find a perfect gift for my mom, who already has everything.
What a great idea.
And Macy's Mother's Day Gift Guide has the perfect gift to make moms feel special.
Oh, I see here. You can shop by price, like $25 and under to $100 and under, or category like fragrance, handbags, and more.
There are also gift lists like gifts for the mom who has everything, gifts that are already wrapped, or even gifts for grandma.
Some of the top gifts I'm seeing are Dolce & Gabbana Devotion Eau de Parfum, the Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, and the Le Creuset Chalet Dutch Oven.
Macy's has it all for mom. Shop at Macy's.com/gift finder. Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes, 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
2 sisters and 1 friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Tanya, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home?
Honestly, no, there's not.
I swear when my house is clean, I feel motivated to do more, like at-home workouts or organizing my closet. I just feel more productive, like I'm ready to take on the day.
I totally agree. When my kitchen is clean and spotless, it makes things like meal prepping fly by. Clorox Scentiva provides a trusted clean with refreshing scents.
Find your home's signature scent. Is it coconut, grapefruit, or lavender? There's a scent for every vibe.
Step up your cleaning game.
With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
There we go. Moving on to other topics. Lindsay Sparkman, how many podcasts do you guys work on? I think I saw you on Paris in Love. That's right. You did, Eastie.
That's right. I made it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm the star of Paris in Love season 2, episode 5 specifically. I do have a line. I say I could fix that. To Paris.
That's great.
Yeah.
When are those cool t-shirts available on your Instagram? I can fix that.
People have asked for them. They've asked for them. How many podcasts do we do, Mark? I don't like to count.
No, actually, I think I have a way of knowing this. Let me just bring this up right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm up to 13. Eastie.
Well, let's see. Let me look here.
And what does that entail? She says, well, it entails, I guess somebody else said that, but it's basically, for most of them, it's different for each of them. For most of them, they just do it. They send me the audio. I edit it together and make it sound like a show. I put on the production at the beginning and I put in the commercial breaks and I do all that stuff. And maybe I shorten it. I bleep the S words. If you can't say that on that show, some you can, some you can't. So it's different for each one, but it's mostly behind the scenes post-production on these podcasts.
Yeah, I do not want to count. I think it's probably around the same though, but 13 or something like that. And I sit on usually Zoom, except for the case of Paris Hilton. I do go to her home,
which is called
Slivington Manor.
Thank you.
And you know what's funny about that is when I was 16 or 17, my friends and I came to LA for the first time, like without our parents, and it was a big deal. And we bought the map of the stars' homes, and we went to Paris Hilton's house.
That's incredible.
And you know, it's different than where she lives now, but like, we went to the house that like they broke into in The Bling Ring. You
know? Wow. Yeah.
And we obviously didn't go up to the door. We drove by, like, oh my god, that's Paris Hilton's house. And like, and it's just funny that now I am there.
You can
frequently
practically come and go as you please.
Yeah,
that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I've been there more than my parents' house over the last couple of years. I sit there and I make sure all their microphones work. I make sure their computers work. If they have any other technical needs, I answer those. Then I sit there and I write down the notes. I take notes with a timer so that Mark knows, oh, they stopped. This is off air, or they said a bad word, or, they're coughing or something like that. Try to make the show more enjoyable for people to listen to. And it's a lot of fun and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Great.
Yep. And what's my favorite podcast? Yeah,
Alex wants to know the top three favorites. Alex Vijaro, I Airs.
People ask us this all the time. What's your favorite podcast? Number one has to be
Scrubbing In.
Well, I was going to say Lady Bosses in Bed.
May it rest in peace.
I think you can still download it somewhere. But yeah, sure. Lady Bosses in Bed is my favorite show.
I love Scrubbing In. I love, the other ones are harder because I love Help I Suck at Dating, but it's a little bit more work for me. So then I love it less. I love Drama Queens, but that one's a lot of work for me. So yeah. I love it less. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, Almost Famous was our first and original. So I would say that one definitely, because also they churn out episodes like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah, man. And it's nice. Let me tell you. I just want to say again how much I love Pod Meets World. Pod Meets World is a show I would listen to if I was not being paid to. It is so funny and so interesting. And, you know, even if you're not a Boy Meets World fan, I think it's a really great show.
Margaret Watford McClintock.
That's a cool name.
Great name. How has a failure or apparent failure set you up for later success? Do you have a favorite failure? That's a very high-end question right there. I used to have a funny story. That's why I picked this one.
All right.
I was at a station called WMMM, Triple M. We called it 105.5 Triple M, Madison's something. And I got fired a lot back in the day. But this is like the only one that was my doing. Like, I got fired from WMAD because they went bankrupt. I got fired from WJJL because they fired everybody. And I got fired from other places for similar radio, just kind of normal radio-related reasons. But this one was my fault. I was the overnight guy at 2 to 6 a.m. And the other overnight guy, his name was Gabe. We would sometimes go exploring at night, in the middle of the night.
As you do?
Yeah, as you do. Although back then, I'm not sure how we did much because you can automate now. Back then, you actually had to literally hit play on every song. So I'm not sure how we did that, but we would.
Put on American Pie and then go explore.
One of the things we did was we would, back then, this was, I don't know if it was pre-direct deposit or it didn't, or they just didn't use direct deposit, but everyone's paychecks were slid into their mail slots. And so Gabe and I would hold those pay slots up to the paychecks, up to the light to see what kind of coin people were bringing in because we knew we were getting hosed. We were the overnight guys. And so anyway, somebody overheard us exchanging notes. Like, oh, this person makes, oh, did you see this person? Oh, they make this much. No, it's I was an idiot. Like, I'll tell you that right now. I was an idiot for many reasons back then, and that's one of them. And so anyway, so that person told the bosses who told the bosses, and I got fired for that. Gabe didn't, because he'd already found another gig. So he'd already put in his 2 weeks notice. But I got fired for that. So wow. I would say that's a failure and a learning experience and a growth moment. Not something I'm proud of. But, you know, it happened and it is what it is. Do you have a failure, Easton?
Yeah, you know, I do. I didn't really know what I wanted to do after like high school. So I started taking criminal justice classes. I thought I'd be a cop like my dad.
Wow.
And then I was like, oh my God, I got to like fight.
I did not see you as a cop.
Yeah, I know. But that's what he said too, my dad.
That's nice.
But, you know, I just kind of did it. And then I got an internship at the radio station in my town and I started doing that and I loved it. And I was such a bad student. My plan was to transfer to San Jose State or somewhere like that and do film, television, radio. That was a major there. And I could not for the life of me pass intermediate algebra at my community college. I flunked it so many times.
Wow.
I flunked it the most amount. I could not retake it there. Mm. So and that was a credit you needed to transfer. Mm-hmm. So if I was going to transfer, I was going to have to go to another community college. And that filled me with so much shame. And I was like, okay, I either have to do that or I have to move to Los Angeles and try to just do radio down there. Cause that's what I wanted to do ultimately. And that was my, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to try.
And here you are.
And here I am. You know, that was 13 years ago.
On the fifth floor of the iHeartRadio building overlooking Burbank, California.
Beautiful downtown Burbank. I'm here and it worked out for me. But yeah.
I mean, of the four people on this podcast, Tanya and Becca included, only Tanya Rad has a college degree. The rest of us dropped out.
That's right.
There's a lesson in there somewhere, kids. Let's see. Haley Heineman, what's your favorite thing about California? You know, I'll tell you, I love a lot about California. Obviously the weather, it's December, it's late December, and it is gorgeous outside. I hike a lot. And that's another thing. I live walking distance from hiking trails and a mountain.
Oh, man.
And I can do it 12 months out of the year. And that's beautiful. I love that. But I also love the diversity of California. I love that my kids are going to school with every race and every ethnicity and every gender variation, every sexual preference. I love that. I love that my kids are being raised, that it's perfectly normal to be whatever you want, whoever you want to be. I think that's fantastic. And those are the two main things.
I love California. I love everything about it.
You grew up here.
I grew up here. I was born and raised in California. I love fake California. Like I love the California in like Beach Boys songs, like the California that kind of never really existed. I love that. But I love the geographical diversity. I love that there's that whole thing. You can go to skiing, surfing, and in the desert in the same day. You could do that. I love the diversity of it. I love how excited people are to be here. And I think that brings a lot of creative and interesting energy. You can't beat the weather, man. It's so great. I've seen snow like twice in my life and I want to keep it that way. there's gold here. I love there's gold in the hills. Like mm-hmm. I think that's such a cool metaphor for this place.
Yeah,
like
the Golden State.
Yeah. I love California.
Blair Maples, what's your least favorite part of your job? You know, people would think it would be the hours, but I've really gotten used to that. It doesn't really bother me getting up early because I don't know any other life anymore. I've been in morning radio, geez, almost 20 years now. So I don't have any other frame of reference, really. I don't mind that at all. I guess it's meetings, and I don't mean the meetings with the staff because I love those. We do those every day for the next day's show. I love that. I love doing the show. I love working with Ryan. I love the show itself. It's meetings with like people who wear ties for a living.
Yeah.
Those kind of meetings, like the planning meetings, those all drive me crazy. That's my least favorite part.
Yeah.
Because look, Seacrest is a big deal in this company and our show is a big deal in this company. So a lot of people have a very vested interest in our show. So we have to do a lot of those meetings and they drive me nuts.
God, what's my least favorite part? I really do love almost every aspect of this job. I guess there are some times I have to record a podcast with someone whose opinions I don't like.
Ah, yeah, that's good.
I have to sit there and listen to them and take notes on it. And then the worst part, A lot of the podcasts you listen to, I also write the little description things. Yeah. trying to make someone that I absolutely despise sound exciting and interesting is a challenge. And I don't like that. That's the part but I do it because I'm good at my job. But that's the part I don't like.
Let's burn through a couple of these quickly. How'd you know your wives were the one? That was Megan and Shayla both asked that. That's an easy one. I remember the thought when the thought of living a life without her became laughable to me. The idea that 5 years from now we wouldn't even know each other, that was just ludicrous. And I thought that was funny. And that's when I knew it was time to propose because she's it.
I had a similar thing.
Yeah.
I could not imagine life without her. And even the worst parts of life are so much better with her.
Elsie Lim, first impressions of Becca and Tanya and each other. Easton's incredibly likable, as you all know, and he seemed like a fun, likable guy the first time I met him. And then I saw him at Disneyland, and I thought it was him, and I didn't say anything. But knowing him now, it was obvious it was him because he's there all the time. But I still seemed like a fun, likable guy.
Yeah, I was intimidated by you because you're the guy here. I was so new and. You're so funny, and everyone liked and respected Mark, and we just want to impress you, Mark. That's what everybody here wants to do.
Oh, that's very nice.
I was like, oh God, if I could. That was the engineer then. I'm like, if I could just fix something for Mark, my life would be set.
And Becca, Tanya, I met 2010, 2011, and she's just Tanya is what she is. Like she's just sunshine, and just walks in a room with her eyes wide and smile huge and big teeth, and there's Tanya, and it's just hard not to like Tanya. I was told blonde Tanya was coming. That was the only thing. Blonde Tanya is going to start working for us. Okay, great. And then she comes in and she's like, wow, she's so happy and fun and kind and genuine. And so, and that's the same way I feel about her now. Like there's Tanya is who Tanya is. And Becca, I didn't really know her whatsoever. I think she's stunning. I remember thinking that like, wow. But she's just so incredibly down to earth. For somebody who is so lovely and has some fame behind her, she's just so incredibly friendly and down to earth.
Yeah, I remember Tanya was so welcoming to me when I first started working here. And I remember when I first got the job, we were using AOL Instant Messenger back then.
Yes,
and
I remember that.
And she hit me up on AIM, and she was like, "Big part of the job I'm gonna need you to do is tell me which song is playing next." And I was like, "You got it, Tanya. Yes, yes." And so I'd have to sit there, and because I was sitting behind the computer. At the board, and I could see, and I would send her an IM going like, Same Old Love by Selena Gomez is next. And she'd be like, thank you. And she'd give me a little salute from behind the glass.
Why does she need to know that?
I don't know. she couldn't tell. She didn't have access to that, I guess, at that point. So
every song for 4 hours?
Not every song,
that?
But whenever she wanted to know.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I was happy to do that task. But she was so so nice and so fun to be around. And Becca, again, I did not watch The Bachelor. I didn't know anything about her. I guess the first time I met her is when we just started doing the podcast. I don't think I would have met her before then.
Right.
She came. Yeah, Amy Sugarman was like, "We're doing a podcast with another person from The Bachelor. It's going to be about Grey's Anatomy or something." And it was just Becca Tilly and Mark and I sitting in here, and she was so fun. And I knew that she loved McDonald's and fast food. And I was like, "Oh, we're going to get along."
That's endearing. Yep.
Yep.
Jenna Lee Anthony. Oh, this is funny. It's your funeral. Everyone has to take communion that is the blood and bread of Easton or Mark. For example, mine is Coke and a medium rare steak.
Coca-Cola.
My husband is mezcal and menudo soup. My dad is soda water and a mini slider. My friend is dirty martini and a mini bagel with cream cheese. What would be your blood and bread of Easton and Mark? That's pretty funny.
It is funny. I like that the body of Jesus is usually just a small,
wafer.
Yeah. And for these people, you got to get in the kitchen. Multiple ingredients here.
I think all I drink is water, but that's boring. So I don't want to say that. So I'll say root beer because I did enjoy that back in the day. And I'm going to say a hot dog on toast.
Wow.
We called it a wiener toasty back in the day. And I still love a wiener toasty, whether it's toast or it's the Pillsbury croissant rolls.
Oh, yeah.
Like a pig in a blanket, basically. Like a full-size pig in a blanket.
Wow.
Uh-huh. That's it. That's my blood and bread right there.
Mine would have to be, it's got to be Coca-Cola.
Okay.
I love Coca-Cola. I could drink it every day, all day long. Coca-Cola and nachos would be the body. That's nice. My favorite food of all time.
And Danielle Taylor, Mark, you mentioned a long time ago you have meals for each day of the week. That one really struck a chord with people.
Yeah.
Does it ever change when you get sick of it? I'm in a dinner rut. So right now, the kids are so busy and they're never home. But right now, it's Monday is still breakfast. Tuesday is now pizza. Wednesday is now pasta. Thursday is often, and this is a new addition, by the way, everybody, heads up, you might want to jot this down. It's Chinese food from Trader Joe's.
Wow.
Yeah, really good stuff.
Interesting.
The egg rolls and the
do you change
dumplings.
Up the kind of Chinese food?
Like, no.
It's always the same?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And so what? And that's dumplings
and egg rolls and the orange chicken.
Oh, okay.
It's great. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday are kind of free-for-alls at this point because the kids are never around. I'm often on my own because the kids are gone and my wife, you know, working on some booster thing of some sort. Anyway, so that's that. On Easter, whatever happened to Croctober? I can't look at Crocs without thinking of you.
I'm happy you brought that up. I love Crocs. I still buy them frequently. I set a high standard for myself with Croctober. The first time I did it, I did like 30 days of Croc-related videos, and it was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And so the following year, I think I did something similar but less frequent. This year, I don't think I did anything for Croctober at all this year other than like wishing everyone a happy Croctober when I would see them in public. But it's just a lot of work, you know? And Crocs knows that I love them. But until I have a really unique and astonishing idea, I think Croctober might have to take a back seat to other things. You know?
Fair enough. All right. I have a game for Easton.
Wow.
We're going to play it when we come back.
All right, Tanya, Mother's Day is right around the corner.
I know, Becca. I've been racking my brain trying to come up with some gift ideas for all the mothers in my life.
You know what could help you? Macy's Gift Finder. Shopping for Mother's Day is always challenging for me, so I love using a gift guide to find a perfect gift for my mom, who already has everything.
What a great idea.
And Macy's Mother's Day Gift Guide has the perfect gift to make moms feel special.
Oh, I see here. You can shop by price, like $25 and under to $100 and under, or category like fragrance, handbags, and more.
There are also gift lists like gifts for the mom who has everything, gifts that are already wrapped, or even gifts for grandma.
Some of the top gifts I'm seeing are Dolce & Gabbana Devotion Eau de Parfum, the Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, and the Le Creuset Chalet Dutch Oven.
Macy's has it all for mom. Shop at macys.com/giftfinder. Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes. 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
2 sisters and 1 friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Tanya, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home?
Honestly, no, there's not.
I swear when my house is clean, I feel motivated to do more, like at-home workouts or organizing my closet. I just feel more productive, like I'm ready to take on the day.
I totally agree. When my kitchen is clean and spotless, it makes things like meal prepping fly by. Clorox Scentiva provides a trusted clean with refreshing scents.
Find your home's signature scent. Is it coconut, grapefruit, or lavender? There's a scent for every vibe.
Step up your cleaning game.
With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
All right, I was trying to think which of Easton's passions should I quiz him on? Should I give him a Disney quiz? Should I give him a Crocs quiz? Should I give him a Marvel quiz? I didn't think people would be very interested in those. But I thought a Cheesecake Factory quiz would be kind of fun. So here we go. Three rounds. First round is trivia. I'll take the rounds as they come. All right? But here right. we go. Round one. General trivia. Here we go, Easton. Ready?
Ready.
In what city and year did the first Cheesecake Factory open?
Beverly Hills, California.
Yep, that's correct.
1972?
I'm so sorry. It is 1978. Beverly Hills is correct, however. I feel like you're going to get this next one. Who is the founder of the Cheesecake Factory?
Oh, man. This is embarrassing.
Really?
Yeah, I really should know his name.
I have overstated your love of Cheesecake Factory.
I know. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Wait.
If I give you his first name, can you give me his last name?
Let's try it.
David?
LaMarche?
David Overton is
Overton,
his name.
So Overton.
I'm sorry. No. I'm not even going to bother with this next song because the next song is what is the name of the band he was in before he started the Cheesecake Factory?
Wait, wait a second. He was in a band?
Yeah, it's called the Billy Roberts Blues Band.
Wow.
Easton, approximately how many items and how many words are in the Cheesecake Factory menu? This is an approximation because it changes regularly.
Yeah.
But roughly how many items and how many words?
It's an ever-evolving menu.
It sure is.
I think items, let's see, there's like... I want to say there's like 40 pages in that menu.
Okay.
So the items, probably it's like 75 items.
According to the source I have, it's approximately 250 items.
Jesus Christ.
And 6,000 words. All right. How about this one? The Cheesecake Factory is referenced in what Drake song?
I know this one.
I knew you would.
Child's Play.
Yeah, that is correct. Very good.
Why you gotta fight with me at Cheesecake? And you know I love to go there.
All right. Round two.
All right.
I'm going to ask you for some of the names on the menu. And their significance. Whose favorite pasta is it?
Evelyn's.
And who is Evelyn?
I don't know who Evelyn is.
Oh, really? I thought you'd know this.
That's embarrassing.
These are the kind of things I would think you would be looking up on your phone as you sit there staring at the menu.
Yeah. You know, I have at some point, but, you know, the gigabytes get overwritten sometimes.
Take a guess.
Evelyn is a friend of the Overtons.
It is the mother of David Overton. Okay. It is her favorite pasta.
Wow.
Whose chicken and almond sandwich is it?
Oh, man. Dave's?
No.
No, I don't have that one.
Renee's chicken and almond sandwich.
Renee's.
Who's Renee?
Renee is the sister.
Yes, it is.
The Overton's sister. I know that.
Whose chicken and avocado salad is it?
All the name ones.
Yeah. These I thought you'd get. Really did.
You know, I love the Cheesecake Factory, but like I could study the menu a bit closer. Chicken and almond salad. Is it Teresa's?
It is Sheila's.
Sheila's.
Who is Sheila?
Sheila is the neighbor.
There's David's wife.
Wife.
So sorry. All right. Here's what's going to happen now. It's going to be a little complicated, but we're going to give it a shot. I'm going to give you 60 seconds on the clock. You're going to name as many flavors of cheesecake as you possibly can.
Okay.
There are, I believe, 28 of them.
All right.
So we're going to see how many you can get in 60 seconds.
All right.
60 seconds on the clock, please. Here we go. Ready?
Ready.
Now, you'll need to give me just a half a second to cross it off the list, and I'll do my best to keep up with you.
All right.
All right. On your mark, get set, go.
Original.
Mm-hmm.
Coconut. Key lime.
Okay.
Cookie dough.
Not called cookie dough.
Oh, it's called cookie dough lovers.
Okay,
I think.
Whatever. Go ahead. Keep going.
S'mores. Oreo dream extreme.
Yeah.
The 60th anniversary.
Yeah, 30th anniversary.
30th anniversary. Sorry. The Snickers. Something Snickers.
Mm-hmm.
The Cinnabon. There's one with Cinnabon.
Yep.
Oh God, so much pressure. There's a white chocolate macadamia.
Okay.
Dulce de leche.
Great.
Something's peanut butter cake. Reese's.
Reese's. Yeah.
The Reese's peanut butter cup. Kevin's. Adam's peanut butter fudge cup ripple.
Very good.
Let's see what else. Oh my God.
I'm sorry. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You got like 12. I think you got 12. That's pretty good.
All right.
Yeah.
The pressure. I thought I would just rattle them off.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Oh my gosh. Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
You are the champion. Thank you. Not quite what I had hoped for, but still.
You know, I do a lot of executive worship, and the Overtons are not as involved with the company anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
So, actually, I don't think I'm going to out her too much, but the wife of the president of the Cheesecake Factory, her friend is a scrubber and introduced me.
The wife of the president's friend.
Yes, is a scrubber.
Got it.
So, sorry. The president's wife's friend is a scrubber.
President's wife's. Okay. Yeah.
So she introduced me to the president's wife, the first lady of the Cheesecake Factory.
Wow.
And I will not say her name on there. I don't want to blow up her spot.
Understood.
But we DM pretty frequently.
Oh.
She has sent me some Cheesecake Factory stuff.
Oh, she's going to be so disappointed in how you did at that quiz.
I know. And, I led a ferocious campaign to bring back the peppermint bark cheesecake last year, and it fell on deaf ears. So, hey, it is what it is.
All right, well, that's going to do it for our show. We love you. Thank you for letting us do this. It's just silly and just ludicrous that anyone would want to hear what Easton and I have to say for an hour.
I know. I always think it's so nice meeting scrubbers. I love meeting scrubbers in public. It's like I never thought that would happen to me.
Yeah.
But every now and again, they'll want a picture. And I don't mean to like be insulting, but sometimes I want to be like, how are you going to explain this picture to people? I have a favorite podcast, and this guy's like, he talks like once every other week on it. So it's very kind, and that just shows the scrubbers are so passionate, and I really, we appreciate it.
My kids are very impressed when one of you recognizes me in public. They're very impressed with that. So thank you. Thank you all. Thank you for, what is it, almost 7 great years of this program.
Wow.
And 24. It's going to be our best ever.
I just can't wait. Let's get another People's Choice Award.
We should make a goal for 24.
Okay.
A live show.
Yes. Yes, a live show. Another one.
That would be great. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
In the meantime, thanks, scrubbers, and Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next year. And so long, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by 2 sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps get them through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.